Gather around. That is the tagline for Apple's September 12th event. And this was announced about an hour after we posted our last episode, Mayo. And
yeah, about that.
Yeah, I think we did a pretty good job of predicting the day and time of not only when the event would be, but then when the announcement would be. We got that one right, so happy about that. The announcement is a circle that is gold-colored with a black background. So I think that means the next watch is going to have a circle face, right?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe they switch up the crown.
Yeah.
Go from red to gold.
Yeah.
Apple car wheel.
Indeed. No, this doesn't have a steering wheel. Well, I guess I don't know how it works. It's a hovermobile. So this was a fun announcement. It's, you know, gather around.
By the way, I can't believe how many people saw that and, like, didn't get what it actually is a picture of.
Well, I've been super exposed to what it is a picture of. So, I they make shirts with that icon on it. And sell it at Apple Park at the Big Circle campus. So,
yeah, there were people who generally thought it was like a round iPhone room. I was like, what? Like, it wasn't even a joke. I was like,
yeah.
It blew my mind.
Perspective, I guess. But
yeah.
In terms of just like the event art itself, though, I think it's really, really nicely done. I mean, the text is nice and bold, you know, as in recent style. The gold is not just like a flat gold, but it's got kind of a side gradient to it where it's like
darker. Yeah, it's like reflected.
Yeah, it's like darker on the right side, lighter on the left side. And in terms of just like the art itself, it looks like it could be like a poster, like a trophy or some kind.
It kind of reminds me of like when a record goes platinum and you get those like framed CD things.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it's simple and it's a obvious concept. Come to our campus. There we go. I think it's nice. Like, I'd got bored of all the riffs they kept doing on the Apple logo where it's like,
yeah,
here's the Apple logo in spotty colors and here's the Apple logo blurry and here's the Apple logo black and white. Like, it's good to mix it up. Although if we just have another 5 years of the Apple Park logo in different colors, and we're probably not gaining anything, but at least for now it's a nice switch up.
Yeah, the logo thing can be dangerous because you're kind of playing with the brand, and some of those don't age as well as others do. So it's tricky, but with this one, like last year for the same event, it was what let's meet at our place, and I forget what the imagery was, but that was like the tagline. And then Gather Round is, you know, the event at Steve Jobs Theater, which is adjacent to Apple Park, the campus that is a big circle. You know, year two of this, like maybe next year they won't be, or maybe next month there won't be this riff off of the event location, and it'll be, you know, another topic. But for now, I think it's clever. And just in terms of like pure aesthetics, I think this announcement art and theme, because it is a theme for the event, like the Apple TV app takes on this theme. The announcement page has this theme to it. It's nice and bold and visually pleasing, I think. So,
and as we will get into, there is actually like a hint toward, like there is a connection to the actual products as well embedded in it.
Yeah, that's a good point, is that it's not for nothing that they use gold in this way, that it's got a clear reference. And then the round is also just clever because it's two meanings. You know, gather round is like, you know, join us, announcement, share the announcement, but then also the campus is round. So it's a double meaning there that they get to pack in, which is, yeah, clever event stuff. There was plenty of joke Twitter, you know, and then like the next hour after the announcement of what it could mean, but, I think it's pretty simple to ask what it was. Just the campus reference, and then, you know, I think I put in my announcement post that the gold was probably a reference to the rumored gold iPhone at the time. So, yeah.
However, at this point, 6 days later, it's almost the most inconsequential news of the week.
I was like, so that was on Thursday, and we published our episode Thursday morning, and then Thursday at lunchtime the announcement goes out, and by the end of the day it was like the third top story in terms of just like the weight of a news story of the day. It's like, oh, ordinarily that would be like the top story for a couple of days of like, oh, the announcement's official now, you know. So, The next thing was, I guess we'll get into this whole episode, is the iPhone XS leak and the Apple Watch Series 4 leak that we published on the same day as the event announcement. And it's so funny, the timing of, like, you know, the announcement and then the reports that we published, being the day after our podcast episode, because I went and listened back at what we discussed, and, like, we got into some naming talk, even though I was really trying to avoid it. And I'm pretty sure both of us were like, it's not going to be XS, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not on a row here. I said, they're not going to update the AirPort Express. They're not going to call it an S.
Yeah.
I'll probably be wrong about something else too.
You want to make any more predictions while we're at it?
Maybe later.
Yeah, maybe later. So yeah, the leaks, the timing on that is funny to me, because we record our podcast on a schedule. Usually it's Wednesday afternoon, toward the evening, or for you at night, late at night. And then you sleep on it, publish it the next day. So have some time to edit it and do ad reads and stuff like that. But this time that meant that our conversation was a little bit outdated, which was kind of entertaining, but also that, you know, based on almost everyone else's schedule, like, these stories have been discussed through and through on other podcasts. Before we get to it, but I think as always, we have kind of a unique perspective on exposure to the news and how it comes to be, and in this case, firsthand experience with writing it. So I think these are fun topics. Let's do the watch first. We published the iPhone first, just out of the idea that, I mean, technically it was discovered first, but then also the iPhone is, like, the big thing of the event. Even though I'm more fond of the watch lately, I guess. But let's do the watch first, is because I think there's more to talk about there. So the watch story is that we shared a picture of what, you know, we know to be the Apple Watch Series 4. Whether Apple calls it that or not, it's just based on precedent. You know, so far they've done first gen and then Series 1, 2, and 3. So we just assume they keep going with 4. Unless they have some clever name for it, like, you know, who knows. But the big thing there is that it's been rumored for months that the watch will get a bigger screen this time, and expected that it's a bigger screen with smaller bezels, so the casing is very similar. What this image showed is that, plus some tweaks to the crown, side button, new microphone in between those two things, and then an all-new watch face. And then there's some questions about, I guess, kind of, you know, what else is left to this thing. But, what do you think about that watch face?
When I first saw the picture, I was like blown away, because it kind of reminds you of those, like, fan mock-ups when they're like, we know Apple's going to do something incredible, and they have every single button, like, make something swivel around, and there's, like, a little gizmo over here, and then it, you know, like, floats, and, like, 10 different things appear on the screen, and then obviously the actual product's a little more refined. Yeah. That was, like, my first response. My second response is, this is really, really cool. And then the third was like, this is a little bit messy. But I think number one, putting so much stuff on the screen that is clearly dynamic, clearly updated, I think it addresses a lot of, like, the community wishes to, like, make the smart watch smart. Mm-hmm. And there are many different avenues you could go down to do that. You can do something like the Siri face, where it's more contextual and things appear, you know, when you want them to, and then obviously it depends how well that works. Or you could have, like, The canonical example is always on the current faces, where if you set a timer complication, but you're not using a timer, it just sits there in the corner saying, set. And it just seems, like, redundant. The other way you can do it is just by having so many more zones of complications that you can always have enough on the screen that's actually changing.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the approach that they've gone with. Like, this is easily the highest number of complications on any watch face we've seen to date, right? There's at least 8, maybe 9, plus the actual time itself.
Yeah, going from just going around the watch face. So, you know, you've probably already seen the images, but I think it's fun to kind of dive into what we're seeing here. There's an analog watch face, and for all we know, there are likely new digital watch faces too, and then maybe changes to existing watch faces. But we know at least one new watch face that's an analog watch face with the same watch hands as always. But that, you know, analog watch face centered, second hand sweeping around the dial. Just for the tick marks around the edge of it, it's got the same tick marks that you often see, no numerals, just thicker ones for every 5 minute interval. But then kind of like most of the top half of it is text and not the tick marks. But it says 12 p.m. lunch with Ken, bullet point, Tartine, I guess the location. So that's a calendar complication around the tick marks of the clock, which is totally new to the watch. Something they could do before anyway, but in this case, they've presented it on this information dense watch face. Within that, you've got a calendar complication that is not an event, but it's the day of the week and the date. It's Wednesday 23rd. On the middle sides of this, there's like a quadrant. You've got a music complication, which also appears to show the volume. And maybe you can rotate the dial and change the volume, or at least you can tap into it and like launch now playing or something and change your volume that way.
Or I wondered if it's like progress through the currently playing song.
Yeah, the fact that it's the same color as the music volume makes me think that it's not, but it could be.
Do you think that's a pink and not a red?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because the
date looks like it's red.
The music volume widget that apps can now use in watchOS 5, which looks very close to that, lets them set a tint color for when you're not rotating it. So when you're not adjusting the volume, you're allowed to pick whatever color you want for it, and then when the user adjusts the volume, it turns to the system color.
Yeah, when you adjust it, it turns green, but otherwise it's like that pink color for music, podcast is purple, and then third-party apps can pick their own color now, right? That's what I think is a music complication, but we'll see.
Adjust the tint color for whatever now playing context you're currently in.
Yeah, and the icon, for that matter.
So
that would be neat. The next thing is basic activity rings, so your move ring, your exercise ring, and your stand ring with progress. And then below that is one you've not seen before as a complication. It's the Earth. You can set the moon phase as a complication now and even get a graphical image of the moon, even when other complications are like flat text and flat black backgrounds or gray backgrounds. This is like the Earth as you see it on the astronomy face, but very, very small and on a watch. On a watch face, which, you know, presumably is like your current location. And as to whether it launches anything or not, don't know. It could launch maps, but I don't think so.
Might launch a world clock.
You could. My guess is it just stands there. Like, the moon one doesn't launch anything. It just shows you the moon phase. And if anything doesn't match on this watch face, it's that. Because everything else is, like, drawn on, but that is, like, a photo image of the Earth. And, like, it kind of doesn't stand out in that way. Or doesn't match in that way and stands out. But, and we'll get into this too, of like what we think this watch face is called, but that's the fourth within the inner quadrant. And then on the outer corners, they're taking advantage of the extra space. Not only, I guess, is this watch face like wider than other watch faces would be before this new bigger screen watch, but they've got corner complications that wrap around the watch face and just have lots of information. So from the top left corner, you've got timer based on the icon. And then 14 minutes, 59 seconds left. And then there's a progress bar that is partly not filled. So it's partly been diminished.
And yeah, it's like 80% filled in.
Right. So you can look from that and see your timer was somewhat over 15 minutes. And now it's counting down. And you can imagine that as you get closer to 00, that line goes away. And so you've got a visual representation of not only the number, but just like a progress bar, which is something you couldn't do before. You could just get timer icon, the word set, tap it, put a number on, and then the number counting down. So this is one more piece of information. And it's fit to the corner to wrap around the circular watch, you know, face drawn within the box. Next to that, you've got a weather complication that shows you the numeral and for the temperature. So 72 degrees, we presume Fahrenheit. And then below that is kind of like the same drawing of the progress bar, but in this case, it's the high and low of the day with color. And the high is 89, the low is 52. And they use blue for low, red for high, and yellow for like where you are, I guess, and within that. And that's a lot of information in a little corner. Like, that's neat.
Yeah, that is really, really – it's just a nice visual as well, yeah, as actually being informative of not only what the current temperature is but where you kind of are along the day, because in general you get to the warmest in like the, you know, the early afternoon,
yeah,
and then it kind of goes back down. So you can kind of get a quick sense of where – you know, if I've woke up in the morning and I can see the dots like on the very left-hand side, and I can – know that, oh, it's going to get a lot hotter very soon.
Yeah, and I wonder if like cold temperatures like 52 are always blue and high ones like 89 are always red. And so if the range was closer to like 75 to 89, if it would be like yellow to red, or if it's always blue to red.
I hope it actually is dynamic colors like that.
Yeah, I kind of like the balance of blue, yellow, orange, red like that. But it, you know, versus if it being like solid red, if it's just always hot where you live. But also, you know, if it is dynamic, then that's just kind of neat too. Kind of across from the watch face in the lower left corner from that, you've got a number 3.6 and then UVI, which stands for UV index, or I guess ultraviolet index is what it stands for. And then you got another color scale that goes blue to purple with yellow, orange, red in between. And so I guess the UV index at the moment in this watch face is 3.6. And a lot of people looked at that and said like, oh, there's a UV sensor now in the watch, and that some Microsoft band has done that for a long time. Based on the weather app on the watch now showing UV index for the first time as part of watchOS 5. And then that information being in the weather app from the Weather Channel. I think it's pretty clear that that's just from the weather app for what it is.
Yeah, and the colors that are used on that strip match the colors that show up in the weather app. Like, I went to Cupertino on the watch and it was UV index 5, which would be like in the center, and that was orange. And you look on this diagram and in the middle is orange. Like, it very clearly is a relationship there.
Right. And then
I also think it's really cool how they've accented the actual current position on there, because it's they're not like defining a circle. It's just kind of like the stroke around it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, because the background of the whole watch is black, you don't even see like the bits. The only way you know there's actually a circle there is because it's overlaid on top of. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's not like a red outline around the whole circle, because as soon as you go outside of the colored band, there's nothing there anymore. But your brain just kind of fills in the detail.
Yeah.
And it's a really like cool way to actually highlight where you are without being really in your face about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the final complication there is the local sunset and sunrise time. And you can already do, for some reason, this is screwed by a watermark, but this is 95 Mac. But it said 7:30 p.m. and then 9:21 a.m., I believe it says. And then they've got the sun icon and an arrow going down. So I guess sunset is next.
Just to correct you, it says 9 hours, 21 minutes. So I assume it's hours, 21 minutes until
sunset. That's what it is. Yeah. Because I guess like some was missing. So it's the sunset time and then how much daylight is left for the day. So that's neat. And again, that curves around the watch. And then in the case of the timer and then the weather and the UVI number, those... maybe the timer's not, but those are like wrapped around the corner. But then the sunset icon appears to be kind of like flat with the bottom of the watch. So that's one distinction. The thing I like about this is that the circle, like the way that the weather corner widgets kind of like, you know, obviously you can set this watch face to whatever you want it to be. You can remove all the complications if you want to and have it be very basic, or you can add as many things as you want for what it will allow. But I like the way in this hero image, they've got the weather like counter to each other, but it kind of matches to, it kind of mirrors each other, how it's like a curve with an indicator on the line and different colors. There's a nice symmetry to it, even though
it's... Yeah, because they basically got two orange complications diagonally...
Yep.
Going one direction, then they got two rainbow complications diagonally on the other corners.
Yeah, and all of the text that is not like flat on a horizontal line that's curved is still on the screen at like a bottom, you know, the bottom of the text is toward the bottom of the screen, even though it's at an angle. In some cases, it's at a, on a circle. It's all legible because it's tilted, but it's not upside down. You know, so
yeah, it's not rotated to an extreme where you have to like tilt your head to read it.
Yeah, and the one concern with this hero image is like, oh, they've got a nice demoable 12 p.m. lunch with Ken Tartine calendar appointment on around the dial. But like realistically, you're going to have a lot of truncation with that, with dot, dot, dot. And like, how much can you really fit there? It's nice that it's lunch with Ken and not lunch with Benjamin Mayo, for example. It's like, you know, will they let you wrap the text in a whole complete circle? And like, what are the limits of that? You know.
Here's what I'd guess, right? Yeah. I reckon the text goes from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock at maximum.
Yeah, I would guess.
So you're never actually getting the point where the text is tilted upside on the upside down angle.
Yeah, because they don't do upside down text anywhere here, it would like go from the 3 p.m. to the 9 p.m. if it were to continue flowing, and that wouldn't make any sense. So it makes sense to have the top half be text and the bottom half be off limits just for tick marks. And then the second hand's red, which the default second hand on watch faces often is orange. For Explorer, I guess it's red, to match the red crown for the Series 3. But you know, presumably you can change the second hand color, maybe. And then presumably you can change like all, let's say, 9 of these complications. You can turn off, you know, we presume you can turn off the calendar appointment. You can turn off the corner ones, and that there'll be new corner ones from Apple, at least the center ones. You've got a neat theory, which is maybe you could put literal app icons there since they're circles.
Yeah, you could have like you could actually make that like a mini launcher, because everyone complains about the honeycomb, although I love it, but mm-hmm. You could just put your 4 favorite apps in there. And some of the apps that don't have actual complications, because it doesn't really make sense, you could just have like the app icon. I mean, the Earth realistically is going to be pretty static for most people that don't travel the world. And even if you do travel the world, it's such a small picture that I don't really think it's going to give you anything anyway.
Yeah, the joke of the autonomy face at the first watch event was, if you ever wake up, this was from Kevin Lynch, if you ever wake up and you don't know where you are, you can look at your watch face and know. It's like, okay, I guess so. In this case, I mean, that's just a guess that you might be able to do that, but you know, if not, then it's something that we'd like because of the way that the icons could fit there.
Can I talk about the calendar one just quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
The one that goes around the curve of the, like, in line with the band of the dial.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect that one can only be off or a calendar event. I don't think that one will be like as free as the others to say, oh, you can pick any line of text complication that you have from third-party apps and other things.
Yeah.
Because of what we kind of mentioned before with the truncation problems and the layout, like with Apple knowing, controlling just what can fit there. Say if you have the event go from 12 to 2, and the location doesn't fit, they can just drop the location. Like, they're going to optimize it so that it doesn't truncate, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And they've probably worked out that they can, the titles of most calendar events plus the time are just about what can fit there. But I don't think they'll let, you know, a third party app. Like, Dark Sky on the modular face lets you have the text in the center just be the weather forecast, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they'll let Dark Sky put that text in that band bit, because
or
it would
like
take up too
a,
much space and it'd be too complicated.
Yeah, or like a text message, even that, you know, from Apple would be too long and not enough text room. And I was thinking, like, you know, could this watch face, like, why haven't we had at least the text rep from the dial before? And I guess part of what it is that edge to edge there's a big bezel reduction, and that whole circle can be bigger than it's been before, because they on all the watch faces they go edge to edge with the dial anyway, the tick marks. Yeah. And in this case, because it's more edge to edge, including on, like, isn't it that we believe that the new 38 millimeter or equivalent of is bigger than the current 42?
Just
a bit. And
I've said this countless times before, I can't use the analog faces in my 38 millimeter because the inscribed circle from the rectangle is so small.
Yeah,
like, it's workable on the 42 size, but the current 38 screen is like tiny on the diagonal for that.
Yeah. So in this case, they can do this now because they've afforded more space to do this with. So the whole circle does get bigger. So then the text becomes, you've got more room for text, and then the text can be a little bit larger, I suppose, too. So then it's up in the air as to whether this style of widget can be on any analog face with tick marks or not. But I would guess that, you know, it's possible, but the likelihood is that it's saved for this new face, just like the way that the LTE dots are only on the Explorer face on the Series 3 and the Siri complications only on the Siri Watch face. Even though it could be on any watch face, it's artificially limited to this one. And so my guess would be it's only on this one or any of the other.
This one.
Yeah, or the new ones, you know.
Well, how many new ones do you think they're going to be?
My guess is the new space, they show off one new analog, as we've seen, and then my guess is one new digital. Although I kind of think the one new digital could be like, enhance the modular watch face, yeah, because it's all about, you know, fitting complications anyway.
And then the other faces would just be like scaled up essentially, and they, even the corner complications would still just be the single icons. Is that what you're thinking?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. That
I am maybe more optimistic, more hopeful. I don't know about more realistic, but I'm wanting them to have all of the analog faces reworked to be in this more like radial style. They're not all going to have the text on the dial, but all of the corner complications can get reworked into the new look of the curve. Because if they're going to do the work to make the complications work on one face, then it feels like a waste if they're not going to put that on all the others as well. Because all the other analog faces already have the round dial to center around. You can just put the text around them. Faces are more, I'm less sure about. For those ones, they probably might just, you know, just scale up. Like the time lapse can go from a 320 pixel to, you know, 480 pixel tall time lapse instead, and just kind of scale to fit.
Yeah, this is one of the things I love about this leak. It's that to the people that said 9to5Mac, you spoiled the event. Like, why'd you post this? I'm just cannot believe you're reading 9to5Mac and not wanting leaks is not a good strategy.
In the web page title of every article on our site, it's 9to5Mac breaking news and rumors. Like, what do you want?
Yeah, I don't know. But I love this kind of leak because it shows you so much, but then there's still so many questions about, like,
this is so much more than what I was expecting them to do.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like this.
I was literally imagining a bigger screen and everything zoomed up into the corners. This whole curve, like text style stuff, is like really, really sophisticated.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you think this is visually cluttered and ugly because of the colors or how much is there, like, you get to pick that stuff. This is just what they're showing you as like the most potential it can do. But you get to
just off the cuff, I would use that face, but take out the four middle ones.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have a timer complication. I wouldn't.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I wouldn't have UV index or the sun one either, probably. I might have timer, weather, and then I'd have to think about the others, but UV especially not relevant to me at all.
I always start from scratch and then think about what looks best where, and some other changes here, like the digital crown, it looks pretty close to what we have now. I can't find any major differences, but there is an accent ring around the crown that is not the entire crown being colored. And so it's like, it looks like you've got like an LTE red ring to say this is an LTE watch, but that it's not the whole dot. It's just a little circle.
It's more discreet.
Yeah.
I call it less offensive, but I'd still prefer if they just got rid of the red altogether.
Yeah. And then below that is a hole that we can presume is a microphone. Because the current Series 3 watch, for example, has two lines on the left side for the speaker and then two dots on the left side below that for the microphone input. And this is either another microphone or a noise-canceling microphone. Like, I can't imagine that being anything else but a microphone, though. And Apple loves to improve products year over year with new microphones. Like, that's been a thing on iPads, on iPhones, on MacBooks, for example. It's like, oh, we've got one microphone. Now we've got three microphones. And it's one of those small changes, but it improves the experience with you know, needing to use a microphone.
Yeah, and they keep trying to up the recognitions of Siri just by, you know, adding more noise-canceling mics in addition to the software algorithmic changes.
Yeah.
And obviously this year, there is Raise to Speak. So if you need more reliable microphone input, then it makes sense to put more mics on the new watches.
Yeah, visually, I think it's you know, if the watch is jewelry and it's aesthetic, it's like one more hole is not good that you can see. But I guess functionally, they think that they're getting something out of it. That is a good thing.
They wouldn't punch a hole in it if they didn't think it was actually worthwhile.
Yeah, exactly. And then below that is the side button. And it appears to be, if not recessed, at least kind of flush with the side, whereas right now it sticks out a little bit. And it's the angle of it all, too. But I think it's pretty clear that that's a different version of the side button than what we have now, right?
I would guess that it's like the iPhone 7 home button, that it's, you know, a physical shape and a little indent, but it, when you press it, it vibrates haptically rather than clicking.
There was one rumor, I think, from Fast Company that was the digital crown would be a physical, not a button, but a solid state button, I guess. And maybe the crown was part of that too. Or the side button was part of that too. But in this case, we can at least see visually that the side button looks different. Like it maybe doesn't actually click in.
One thing about the crown, by the way, the little like indentations on the crown, on the current watches, the indentations only go like a third of the height of the crown. On this render, the indentations go all the way to the flush of the body.
I see. Yeah, yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, that's a difference there.
And so I'm assuming that has turned into a haptic button as well, because they're not going to have a physical clicking button at the top and then a haptic side button, like they do both at the same time.
Yeah.
And that probably allows them to fit some more battery in or fit the screen components in, something like that.
So how do you think you turn it on, if it's turned off, or reset if you need to?
No idea. Maybe. Maybe. Oh my. You know, like all those old electronics where you have to get like the tip of a really sharp pencil and like click a reset button.
Yes,
that's what that hole is. It's not a microphone. If your watch screws up, you just jam this little tiny pencil into the side of it and it turns back on. It
pops like a SIM tray. It's like an iPhone little SIM tray hole.
Yeah.
Oh man,
that'd be so wild.
Yeah, and then I don't think there's any question about it, but the watch band, I don't think there's any change to the watch band. Like compatibility wise,
no, it looks the same.
Okay, do you think it's slimmer?
The body of the thing and how the screen meets it and it curves. I'm convinced that it is more rounded now than it is on the current watches.
Okay,
like a harsher curve, like more pebbly than boxy.
Okay, do you think that this watch, what we think is the Series 4 from this image, based on this image, is thinner than the current watches?
No.
Okay, there was a really convincing Reddit like morphed image of the current one and then this one, and that made me question it. But I think it's like the iMac trick, which is you give a really good angle that makes it look thin, but then of course there's more to it back there.
Yeah, I mean for a start, we can't see how big that back crystal is, which is the only component they made bigger last year.
Yeah,
and the angle is deceptive. The Reddit thing I saw as well, and it did make me go, because you look at the bit that where our watermark is, where the metal meets the band at the bottom, that is bigger comparing to the graphic the Reddit kind of like morphed from the old watch render to this one, and that definitely shrinks, but I think that just might be a byproduct of the curve changing, so the metal just kind of moves around, like the place where the band's compatible, but the exact like place where you slide it in has actually recessed slightly or gone downwards, so it makes the visual comparison the same. If it is thinner, it's got to be very, very marginal. Like maybe they've returned to first generation Series 0 thickness.
Or Series 2 even. There's two.
Yeah. Well, Series 2 got thicker, didn't it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're comparing from Series 3, there's two versions.
Yeah, but you can't see the back crystal on this one, so you can't really make a Series 2, Series 3 comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe they've gone to first-generation dimensions. And I will say, I went from first-generation to Series 3, and I could definitely tell it was significantly thicker. So if they could go back down down the scale, and even if they did get to Series 0, they should then try and push to make it even thinner still.
9to5 Mac Happy Hour is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. It's no secret that hiring the right talent for your company is hard. It can feel like a full-time job all on its own, but LinkedIn can take the guesswork out of hiring. That's because LinkedIn is more than the world's largest professional network. It's also a better way to find great talent. The way it works now is you post a job to a jobs board and hope you find the right person for your job. But if you think about it, how often do you check job boards? For most people, it's a pretty occasional thing, but there is a place where people go daily to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. In fact, 70% of the U.S. workforce is already there. It's LinkedIn. You already know LinkedIn as the world's largest professional network. And here's the thing. It's also a better way to find great talent. Just ask any of the hundreds of thousands of businesses who have posted on LinkedIn Jobs over the past year. And because LinkedIn considers skills, experiences, location, and more to match and promote your job to potential candidates, businesses are rating LinkedIn Jobs 40% higher than jobs boards at delivering quality candidates. 22 million professionals view and apply to jobs on LinkedIn every week in every industry, even yours and mine. If you're not using LinkedIn for your hiring needs, there's no better time to start than now. Just go to linkedin.com/happyhour and get a $50 credit toward your first job post. That's linkedin.com/happyhour for your $50 credit today. Terms and conditions apply. Our thanks to LinkedIn Jobs for sponsoring 9to5 Mac Happy Hour.
The overall ratio of thickness to size will be less of a problem, though, I think, just because... No, actually, that doesn't make any sense because the screen's getting bigger, but the physical size doesn't change, so ignore that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Well, I mean, perspective could be you've got a bigger screen, you know. The thing about the current watch screen is, like, unless you go to a photo or, like, the time-lapse phase or the flashlight or something that goes full screen like that and shows you the harsh borders of the watch, it looks like, if you're in the Siri phase, it looks like there's just, like, black screen around it, but there's actually not. Like, it's edge-to-edge. It's just that with the OLED screen, it blends in pretty well unless you're in, like, really bright sunlight or something. And so they do a pretty good job of, like, tricking you about that. But in this case, you know, they're going way past the current border. So that maybe there will be, like, a visual effect of, like, the watch face looks like it's – I mean, it's a little bigger. But it makes the whole watch, like, feel different in terms of, like, the ratio of, like, screen size to body.
Yeah, like, 15, 20% bigger is not a huge number. But I think you will – I think you will be able to notice it.
Like, yeah, me too.
The complications that are currently inset will basically be at the exact point where the curve of the screen meets the flat bit. Like, that very, very corner is where those things are going to sit. And it will be a dramatic difference.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, pull down Notification Center with a few alerts there, and you see the harsh edge of, like, the sides, top and bottom, and that those edges will be a lot further out, and it'll just look a lot different. I did a Twitter poll on this one, and I lost. But do you think that, you know, this is a gold-colored watch that we're looking at? Do you think this is gold aluminum, gold stainless steel, or gold gold?
Well, you tell me what you think it is, and then I'll say.
I think it's a very shiny, like the source of the image, like these are like marketing images that Apple would use that we shared, but. So it's like it's a render. It's not like a photograph of a product, but it's a render that Apple made to use marketing wise. I think it's a very nicely done aluminum finish.
Okay, just because the current ones are gold, or do you have a justification?
I just think that they kind of exaggerate the shininess and reflectiveness in the renders, and that this looks shinier than an actual aluminum in person, or actually actual aluminum in person. But that they exaggerate the steel even more. If this was like gold steel, it would look even shinier than this image is.
Okay. I am going to go and say that it is gold stainless steel for a few reasons. One, if you compare renders of the aluminium and the stainless steel of the current watches, the reflection of the colors go from dark to light in the middle. Like, the sheen is in the middle of the gap.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the aluminium. On the stainless steel, it's lighter at the edges and dark in the middle, which is what this one's like, right? Because the dark browns in the middle and the kind of reflections at the corners. So that is hinting at stainless steel. And then I'd also wager that it is the same stainless steel as the phones.
Yeah. We'll
and if they did
phones,
aluminium, but you can't really match the colors.
Yeah. Part of me wondered, would they use aluminum in like a an image that represents the whole line, or would they go with steel? It's like the higher end of the line, you know, and like this is what we want to market it with. And look back at kind of a reference point from last year, and they use aluminum like all throughout, you know, gold and space gray all throughout their marketing.
And my counter argument would be they're gonna have the watch side by side with the iPhone picture, so it'll match with stainless steel gold.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting that like this is a leak where we can see the image, but we don't know the material. Even like could be aluminum, could be steel. I kind of like personally, I'm rooting for it to be steel, so people have the option to buy gold shiny and not gold matte. And we're far enough away from the gold edition, you know, the pureness of like Johnny Ives one for the gold watch that, and if we're doing a gold still iPhone, then why not have a gold still watch? So I'm kind of rooting for it. I just think like, you know, conservatively guessing that we're looking at aluminum, but it is up in the air. And I did lose my Twitter poll, when I asked, you know, people what they thought. I still won out on that one. So, I guess the last thing on the watch really is this watch face. Like, what do you think it'll be called?
And this kind of goes into my hope that they've reworked all of the analog faces to work like this. I could almost see this being the new utility face. Because it has the same tick marks as the utility face, obviously without the calendar inscription. And the idea of the utility face is to be utilitarian with, you know, information. And this clearly fits that bill from what you can see. So it kind of fits the theme of it being the utility face. And then you can then see all the other faces with the same names, but have actually been like properly optimized for the new form factor.
Yeah. So you think...
I can tell you're not convinced.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. And my... reason for that is that a lot of the watch faces look very similar, and there's like unique things about each one, but they have the same foundation, you know, whether it's the digital clock face or the analog clock face. And I think that this could be like start at utility and then go up from there, and then you have this whole new watch face, you know, and I think that's what we have. My probably wrong guess is that this could be like there's already Astronomy Digital, where you can pick the between the Earth, the Moon, and the solar system. And it used to be like a tap change, where you tapped the corner to change a non-replaceable complication of like Earth, solar system, Moon. And now in WatchOS 5, they made a Force Touch customized watch face, like more traditional. And it's nice because you don't accidentally change the astronomy face just by wearing it and accidentally tapping it. But that's a digital watch face. There's no analog version. And my probably wrong guess is this is analog. This is astronomy analog, in that the bottom Earth complication that looks so out of place can't be changed except to the Moon or the solar system. But I think that would be too bad if that were the case.
So they're going to call it astronomy analog just because of one Earth complication.
Yeah, that's my bad guess. My other guess is that it's got a whole new name, like how Explorer had a new name, and that it's something that is like, you know, in the realm of Explorer, but different.
If I was imagining an analog astronomy face, it would be more like activity analog, where the main component, the Earth, the Moon, is the circular bit of the dial, and then the hands are laid on top of it.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it's more like just like a complication inside of it rather than anything else.
Yeah. One thing I'm thinking about too, though, is with activity analog, you can have two very different approaches. You can have one that is the ring within the analog circle, or you can have one that is four complications, kind of like this, where one is your move with the number inside, one's your exercise ring with the number inside, and one's your stand hours with the number inside, and then the fourth one is the date, with the day of the week and the month. And I like that one because it's pretty dense. I can fit more complications than any other watch face on that one for me on an analog face. And so Force Touch, you have the option of Earth behind the clock hands or the four complications on the same watch face. So that's something you can do with analog activity now. But again, these are total guesses.
I mean, on my theory, I'd say that the four quadrants in the middle complications, that they become standard on all of the analog, or on most of the analog faces. So it's not just on this utility one. It'd also be on color and other ones like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Because
making those ones in the middle is a significant effort, more than the corner ones, because you actually have to like remake the assets and stuff. Like if you could have moon in those quadrants, you need larger textures to, because currently the moon eye graphics are like 20 pixels tall because they the tiny little box icons in the corner.
Yeah.
So to fill those bigger gaps, you're going to need new imagery, and it would be, I think it's a bit of a waste to only have it on this one, whereas you could reuse it. And then you can get developers to make whatever you want to call these quadrant complications and then also have them across the board. And maybe they're more dynamic than the corner ones because they're, like, bigger. For instance, just like how now playing, if it's, like, progress or volume, it's more dynamic than something that updates once an hour. Like, imagine if you could put like the weather condition in one of those circles. That'd be like really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have the rain, the dark sky rain chart. You know how like the waves of it like flutter up and down?
Yeah.
You could put that in there. That'd be pretty neat.
Because mm-hmm. yeah.
the corner complications from a developer standpoint are more approachable because of the way that complications are designed as from an API perspective. Because you basically say, I want this text and this image, and you hand it off to the system, and the system renders it. So on the new watch, they can just render it on a curve instead. That doesn't apply to things like the high and the low, obviously, of the weather, because right now it's just the number at the top. But for some of them, like the timer or the sunset one, you can see how it's like an almost direct automatic port. And obviously, Apple's then gone and added more in where it makes sense. But third-party developers, many of which have very little interest in supporting watch apps at all, I think will at least get some support, quote-unquote, for free on these new curve styles. Whereas the middle ones are probably going to need you to upload entirely new imagery in an app update.
Yeah. I can see the corner a corner complication for like my task manager things being the icon, maybe like the icon for the things complication, which is a kind of a check mark and a circle. And then the progress bar being the number of tasks that day, and the number being, you know, like 4 out of 5, like however far along you are of marking things off. You know, and you can just imagine like what other kind of complications you could do with that. You've got a Series 3 no LTE right yep. now, right? Are you going to update your watch this year?
Yes. Okay. I was probably going to do it anyway, but as soon as I saw this leak, my money had already gone from my bank account. Like, this is so much more than I was expecting to do, even though it's only a snapshot. I think it's just one face of many.
Yeah,
it's such a cooler, like, just the text being curved on the dial alone had me. I was off to the races. That's such a cool, like, throwback to old like watches. In terms of the actual like shape of them, but also very modern in that it's actually something dynamic at the same time. Like, it feels really, really cool to me. And yes, you first look at this and you're like, wow, there's a lot of information here, but I don't think there's any reason to suspect that you can't change some of the zones to none, just like you can with all the other complications, and you could refine it to something less over the top and more exactly what you want.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, every new watch, like it would take a big misstep on the watch for me to not want to update year over year. Because in the early days right now, every change is something significant for how I want to use the watch. So, of course.
Yeah, and I probably won't get cellular unless they need to announce more carriers, because still the UK's only has one carrier out of like 7 main carriers.
Well, I think it's likely that all Series 4 are cellular.
See, I don't think so, because yeah. they're only in what, like, 8 countries now? Are they really going to go to every single country, or you just ship it with the components inside and never activate them on those ones? Like, feels inefficient.
Yeah, it is. You could, though. You could have Series 3 be the fallback of GPS only, and then all Series 4 are cellular. Yeah, but the regional thing about that is complicated, we'll see. And then also, if all were cellular, then maybe you wouldn't bother with the ring around the dial there, but the crown. But yeah, we'll see. I'm super excited. I mean, the leak has only made me know a little bit about what's going to happen. But there's so many questions, about this and what else there is. So
I just want to see all the different curve complications they've done, because we only see four here, and there's at least 20 stock included ones with the watch. They could have a stock ticker. They could have all sorts of stuff going around there.
Yeah, and then next thing in the watch space before we go to iPhone is today Guy Rambo published a story on what he believes the iPhone or the Apple Watch Series 4 resolution will be for the larger model, which is 384 by 480, and that compares to 312 by 390 on the Series 3 42mm. And then there's also a screenshot of various apps and even a watch face. What does that difference get you in an app? And I think that the difference is significant. It's dramatic in that you can fit another tile in a settings app. You can fit the full line of text in a setting, like text description. Some watch faces can just get bigger and more, visual. The Siri watch face can show more tiles. So I think it's going to be nice. I hope there's not a situation with letterboxed apps for a little while. But we know all of Apple's will be updated, surely. And there
aren't many third-party apps.
And there aren't many third-party apps.
I mean, we always talk about how so much of text on the watch is hyphenated just because it's small. Yes. And if you make the screen 20% bigger, you can have 20% less hyphenation.
That's right.
And by the way, though, if that resolution is correct, that will mean that the pixel density, the PPI, will increase slightly from the current watch because the resolution increases more than 20%, which is what we expect the screen size to get bigger by. So by math, the actual DPI is going up slightly as well.
It'll be slightly sharper, even more retina than it was before. But I guess with a somewhat bigger screen, you need to adjust for that. So I can't wait. I'm so excited about Wednesday and this all coming. And I guess it's probably likely that predictions of availability will be the events on the 12th. So on the 14th, you can probably order Thursday night at midnight. On the 11th, you can order, and then release the following Friday, which is the 21st of September. So coming up quick. In the iPhone XS area, which is
the hesitation just from double checking. How are we supposed to pronounce this thing?
Yeah, I know. It's also just weird to now be referencing this thing by name with confidence and not, every time we reference it before, it's like we say iPhone 10, iPhone 10 Plus, and then there's a qualifier or whatever they actually call them every year we do this. But now we can say iPhone 10S and with some confidence. This was an image discovered by Guy Rambo. The watch image we discovered as a team after, Rambo's method. But this was just out of the blue a couple hours after the event was announced. Rambo was in Slack and he said, "I've found the new iPhone," and he put it there. And it was just whoa. Because last year we had the iOS 11 GM leak, and that was, I suppose, an employee or someone within the chain sending us a link to the iOS 11 GM that we could download and then install on our devices. And we did that. We were running the betas anyway. So then we installed iOS 11 GM apparent on our actual devices, thinking they were either going to blow up. We'll see what happens. And that let us find the Series 3 watch and the watch app. If you needed a pair of watch, it would show you the new one. And that was
an emoji.
Yeah. Once we, this was on a Friday night, we, I messaged over Twitter Stephen Trout Smith and then Guy Rambo and said to both of them, we've got the iOS 11 GM. I'll share it with you if you help us dig through it. And eventually they both agreed. And then since then, Rambo has joined 95 Mac as a regular contributor several months later. And so this year it's he's part of the team. And so he just pops us into Slack in the afternoon on Thursday. And it's whoa, okay, yep, that's it. So tell me what we see here in this image.
Well, for a picture of the iPhone, next generation iPhone, it disguises quite a lot of the hardware. It's a shadowy picture with a spotlight from the front of the 5.8-inch iPhone XS and then the 6.5-inch iPhone XS beneath it with what looks like a planet wallpaper, but yeah. I actually think now is not a planet, and it's just like this bubble with weird refractions inside it. And it's in stainless steel gold.
Yeah, I'll qualify that by saying that the measurements we get from, you know, based off Ming-Chi Kuo's rumors, he long predicted the same 5.8-inch screen as the current iPhone X plus a 6.5-inch version. And then Bloomberg's backed that reporting up. There's been lots of sourcing. So we can apply that to what we see here and effectively say that's what we're seeing. Although nothing about the images, you know, say 5.8 and 6.5. We do get from the image that the name XS from the file name of the image, though. So, although it's applied to both phones, and later on we'll discuss what we think the bigger version of that would be. But yeah, I agree with that so far. And it's just like, you know, it's the gold and black from the invitation, and that was one of the rumors before we found this image, was the iPhone X replacement will come in gold. Last year there was an FCC leak. It was rumored that gold would be late. And then eventually never came. That was a Ming-Chi Kuo rumor. And then the FCC back in, I think, March, published pictures of that unreleased gold iPhone X. So with a black front for the first time. So we got to see, like, what does it look like? And we can presume from that and the current iPhone X design that on the back of this image that we see, there's glass, which is like a different shade of gold because it isn't steel. But it's like, it's pretty telling based on what we know otherwise, you know, and it just kind of confirms like things that were rumored, which is why I find the watch to be so much more interesting, because it was like, it was rumored, but like there weren't reports of like an information dense watch face or what Apple would do with the new watch face. In this,
like, case, if the picture of the watch was with the screen off, yeah, the iPhone leak would have been better because it also has the name, mm-hmm. but because the watch is filled with that, and it's not just the face we all know before, but bigger, it's like radically different. So that was way, way better of a discovery.
Yeah. So there is some guesswork on the iPhone XS side of things. You know, one being is the are we still saying 10 in the S? Or are we saying XS? I think we're still saying 10S though. Is the S uppercase or lowercase? Probably lowercase, but we prefer capital. So
these names.
Yeah. And then they don't show the home screen or the status bar. So it's like things like AT&T WIF, where I get when I use Wi-Fi calling with AT&T, the status bar says AT&T WIF, and then it scrolls past. Like, will that fit on the bigger phone? Probably, but we don't see that yet.
Yeah, or like, can they put battery percentage back in the notch?
Yeah, as an option.
6.5-inch, the notches will be bigger because the sensor housing doesn't grow. It stays the same size.
Right. Or is there another row of icons on the home screen, you know, because you've got so much more space. There's all kind of things that, like, once you get past this wallpaper, what is there? You know, a lot of it's probably guessable, but, you know, there's still some mystery here. But based on the rumors, you know, we don't think that this is a solid gold iPhone. We think it's gold stainless steel. And, yeah.
Gold and black looks sleek.
Yeah, I'm not a gold person. Like, I wouldn't buy one of the gold watches and or this new iPhone in gold. I did have the iPhone 6 in gold, I think, and it was with a white face, but that was just because it was new. I wanted to kind of try it out. But I much prefer the black ones or even the silver ones. But it's really neat. Like, I think this will be super popular. You know, and we don't see, like last year with the iPhone 8, they... And with the Series 3 watches, they combined two shades of gold, you know, gold and rose gold, into one, called it new gold. And I guess that's what we get here too. This is you know, new gold round two, and there won't be two shades. But you know, you never know. But I that's my guess, at least.
Yeah, it's because it's most of it shrouded in darkness. It's kind of hard to tell, yeah, like whether it's the same shade of gold as the iPhone 8 is today, because just the way it's kind of melded with the black shadows, it kind of makes it look like a darker gold than last year.
Yeah, and the thing about the FCC leak is, like, that was one, you know, environment of photographing that device. But frankly, like, I didn't think that, the glass on that looked as good as the glass on the iPhone 8s that were
gold.
Yeah,
I agree.
There was just kind of a different approach to that. And so I hope that the back of these phones aren't a turnoff for people, you know, depending on how they look. But I mean, that's all we really get from this image. And then the rest of what we expect about the iPhone XS line is that it is from rumors and a lot, mostly from Ming-Chi Kuo. Like, you know, you know you're going to get an A12 modifier named chip, you know, as a year-over-year upgrade. And then Ming-Chi Kuo says 4 gigabytes of RAM over 3 gigabytes of RAM year-over-year. Dual SIM in some markets on the larger version. And other than that, like, there's not a whole lot rumored this year besides speed improvement and then the new sizes, right?
Yeah, like, vague references to improved cameras, but no details.
Yeah.
We got the screen, Kuo did the screen resolution, we talked about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at some level, it's an S in that regard, faster, better camera.
Yeah.
Same design, apart from you also now got a bigger one.
Yeah, and then today we reported that we I won't say like we believe iPhone XS Max is the name, but that it's likely the name for the larger version.
Yeah, it's not a dead set, but we've got several different people saying the same thing.
Yeah, in the way that the image, you know, we'll just say the file name for that image was iPhone, I think, no space XS. So it wasn't like dash XS. It was iPhone XS as the file name. So we say iPhone XS is the name of the phone. This is not that, like, an accidental, you know, leak from Apple. This is just sourcing. We've got two different sources that are independent of each other that believe Max will be the modifier. And then separately, there was a Bloomberg report, you know, last week or so that said that Apple's has been considering dropping the Plus name for this phone. And in this case, it's like, we don't know that this is what they chose, but we believe based on our sourcing that somewhere along the way that iPhone XS Max was considered to be the name. And then we believe, you know, XS because of the file name of the image. So, you know, we'll see. But it grows on you the more you say it, I guess, as much as it sounds like. Like, there are literally Android phones with Max with two X's in the name, M-A-X-X.
There are a lot of Android phones that use Max as the modifier for the bigger screens.
Yeah, there are plenty of Motorola-branded phones that have Max with two X's. And, you know, here we go with probably Apple going down this route with iPhone.
I like Max. Max is cool. Like, yeah. Plus, it's fine. Max is about doesn't offend me. I think the combination of having an actual XS, even if you're saying XS, and then, like, it's so many X's in the same, and like, X is such a rare consonant to even use, and in 8 characters or 10 characters, you've got it twice. Like, I think combining the two together, I'm not as convinced by, but on its own, if you just told me it was the iPhone Max, I'd be happy with it.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not going to argue with what we believe the names will be, despite how good we think they may be.
It's notable we didn't get any pictures of the 6.1-inch LCD phone.
Yeah.
But we still expect it to come in a very varied palette of colors.
Yeah, and we don't know the name of that, although there is, I think it's mostly from Twitter, but there's a mention of iPhone XR, or, you know, written out XR, as the rumor name for that. And the only logic, I guess, is that R comes before S, so it's a modifier.
That is the stupidest justification I have. Like, that name is just terrible. 10R, like, are you serious? That is,
well, C has the bad connotation.
What's wrong with C?
Well, C for cheap. C for color makes sense, but C for cheap is not great. And I think it just makes it kind of unattractive in a way. Although I think anything works and you'll sell in either way. But 10R...
I think C's fine. 10C.
Yeah, I think 9 is pretty problematic. And that even though they've never had an iPhone 9, that this does not have the same... This has a better processor than the iPhone 10 had. You know, the rumor
is... A bigger screen as well.
Yeah. Even though it won't have some features that the 10 had, it's got the best parts of it, is what we like to say. So I think 9's not going to happen, but 10R, you know, maybe. We'll see. That's one of the mysteries about all of this. And there was a rumor from Quo repeatedly that the iPhone, you know, 6.5 inch and 5.8 inch that we now call the 10S Max and the 10S will be released in September, and then the middle-sized entry-priced flagship will ship a few weeks later, probably in October at some point. So it's all curious. It's like, why didn't we find those images in the same way? And then that, because of that, you know, we didn't find the name of it either. But yeah, it leaves some mystery for the event, I guess. one thing with 10R, I just Googled XR, you know, Google search, and the Wikipedia entries about augmented reality and mixed reality. And I could so see Apple making some connection with AR and XR. Even just because of how much they love AR, despite the rest of the world being like, you know, yeah, well, guess so. Guess
I don't want to say that's never going to happen, because then it will happen based on our recent record.
Yeah. So, that's, you know, the images show much of what we'll see from the event, but we've got so many more questions about, you know, the finer details about all of it. So I'm so excited about the event. We didn't find images of iPads and Macs either, you know. And so because we didn't find the middle-sized iPhone, it doesn't rule out those being at this event. But there's already, you know, my guess is that there are two events, you know, and it's just totally a guess. But it's just, I think you could do two events and give the products justice. But
in your hypothetical second event, you'd have both iPads and Macs.
Correct, yeah. What do you think?
I don't think Apple likes having two events in the fall. I think they do it if they're hands forced, but they've shown before that they'll happily announce an entire full lineup that doesn't ship for a couple of months. Like with the original iPad Pro, it was announced September, shipped in November. I'd be perfectly, I'd welcome that happening again. They have the watch, the phone, the iPad, and they're all following the same theme, right, of making the screens bigger. They all look of a unit. And then you fling in the new MacBook, which is also having a screen change, just to finish the set, and then you have an event of four products. With that in mind, I don't know what you'd leave for October, because the rest of the Mac expectations are all just kind of like spec bump changes. So I don't think they really can. They can all be like press release stuff.
I think if the Mac Mini has no design change, it can be a spec bump. You know, then it can be a press release. If the MacBook is some new design, you know, even like if it's wedge shaped 13 inch, then that's a new design to me. Then that gets an event.
Yeah, then that's why it'd be in the September event. That's what I'm saying. So you do four products in the September event.
Yeah,
because last year they did, you know, Apple TV 4K, watch, two phones, iPads for June. Like, I think they could sort it out. Like, the phones are definitely going to be shorter, just in terms of raw time. People are already accustomed to the 10 and the Face ID stuff, and I mean, who knows, right? Like, right. It just seems to me that they could do it all in September and it'd be very elegant, versus calling everyone back a month later and be like, here's some iPads and a Mac, and there you go.
Yeah, I like that we come down on different sides, because I see all your points, and it's just that we make different decisions based on the data. But, you know, in 1 week we'll know. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, whoever's right, it doesn't, in the scheme of things, it's just, you know, it's just some fun, isn't it? My model kind of excludes stuff like AirPower, though, which is why I start to doubt it, because then they could do, you know, like watch, phone, AirPower, done. But again, the AirPower has already been announced and they've already demoed it before.
Yeah.
So they could just, I think AirPower will be announced, the release date for AirPower will be announced next week, and it will be like a slide at the end. So they go through the iPhone pricing, they've already announced the watch, and then they say, and you can get the AirPower mat on October 1st for $199, and it can charge your watch, your new phone, and we are also selling the wireless charging case for the AirPods too. They don't have to spend a lot, they don't have to dwell on it. They can just say the date and move on.
Do we expect AirPods that can be activated with voice, you know, using with Siri?
The latest rumors indicate that all of that is next year.
Okay.
And the only thing coming will be the charging case for the AirPods to work with the AirPower.
Okay. And then there's the HomePod angle, which is that there have been rumors that there's an internal beta within Apple that has stuff like multiple timers and the ability to start a phone call from the HomePod like you can't do now. It didn't get any say. Like, the Apple hasn't shown that yet, including at WWDC. I think, in my view, where there's two events, then the HomePod maybe gets some more stage time here. It's like there's so much more that they can show than they've done in the past with HomePod, and it's come.
But what are they going to do? Stand on the stage and go, "Watch us make a phone call on the HomePod"? Like, it just feels so pathetic. I think they'll do the software update and just release it. They'll just say at the you know, when they do the wrap up, and they'll go, "iOS 12 comes September 15th or September 17th. And we also have a home update for HomePod 2, and maybe they do like a bullet point list of changes. But I think it's kind of patronizing to stand there and like, "Here's how you change the Wi-Fi network on the HomePod now. Here's how you do a phone call." Like, everyone's just going to be, like, there's nothing that people haven't already seen or get the gist from their other devices. So I kind of feel like they can just rattle it off.
Well, so in the history of the HomePod, the only stage time has been at WWDC as a preview. And then there's not been another HomePod event. That was it. It was WWDC 2017. And I think they could show "customers love HomePod" and then like take way too long to like show you why. But it's just a prediction. You know, we'll see. And then other than that, like, I don't think we're forgetting anything that could be there. It might be there. No, we'll see. I will say, if there's two events, they can do way more demos than if there's one event. If there's one event, then they might make it tighter. And I don't really have a preference for like which approach they take. Like, either way, I think you're going to end up with the same stuff at the end of the day. It's all going to be a lot to buy if you get everything new.
Yeah, I don't really mind if they do September, October. I mean, if anything, it gives us more stuff to talk about.
Right.
But I think if I'm trying to put my like Apple head on, it seems way more elegant to do it all at once.
Yeah, I will see. Anything else going on this week you want to discuss?
Just very quickly, I want to highlight a new book that came out called Creative Selection. It is by Ken Cosienda, who engineered the original iPhone keyboard. The book covers his basically career at Apple from when he joined in 2001. And then he left in early 2017, although the book finishes with an iPad anecdote. It doesn't go beyond, because Cosienda worked on the watch, but unfortunately doesn't talk about that in this book, or the iOS 7, you know, debacle, or any of that stuff. That's not included. It ends with iOS 4.3, essentially. That is the time frame. It ends basically as Jobs resigns and then, you know, sadly passes away.
Mm-hmm.
The book is fantastic if you care at all about how Apple makes products, how decisions are made, any of that stuff. There are anecdotes that give so much context into like Scott Forstall's role, into how Jobs like controlled and oversaw stuff, and how he edited things, and how he how lower level engineers could make really key decisions, and also just some like wacky things that you would never, like, you always see Apple from the outside as this company that's got everything together, right? Like, everything's planned out in your head. Like, they've thought about all this stuff to an incredible degree, and clearly it must be this way. And then Cosienda points out plenty of times in this book where they just kind of winged it. The original iPhone app icons are 57 pixels square, and you think, how did they come up with that? Surely they must have, you know, got some really advanced ergonomic testing, and they just flung a phone around the room that had this stupid game where you tapped a box. They did that for the 15 people that are working on the iPhone software, and then they averaged out the tap target, and they're like, "Oh, it's 57 pixels, done, next day." Or like the iPad keyboard, right? So the primary input method for this brand new Apple tablet, and the iPad was announced in January 2010, right? When would you think that the keyboard was thought about, made, and quote unquote done?
January, like, roughly 2009.
Late summer 2009. Like, months like before the thing. Because if you remember back to the Apple Slate rumors, there were all these things like, oh, Apple's going to do voice, Apple's going to do random gestures, they're going to do handwriting, they're going to do this. And what we ended up with was, you know, a big iPhone keyboard, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And Crescendo talks about how they were originally like, they were going to offer this button, which would switch between offering more keys and less keys. So you could kind of go to like a 12.9 iPad Pro keyboard and then go back down. And then he goes to Jobs to demo it. And Jobs just goes, we only need one of these, right? And then he asks Crescendo whether he should go big keys or small keys. Crescendo says big keys. This is like, you know, August. Jobs says, okay, done. And that's it. And then that's what ships. Like, it's such a great read. And it's not just like a CV of his career. Everything is well wrapped into this like on rolling narrative. And I've got a full post on the website if you want to get more of a gist. But I would definitely recommend picking up and reading it, because it is really good. For anyone that's listening to this podcast, I think would really enjoy it.
Okay. And then also, before we go away for the week, there have been not Apple marketing images, but renders based on, I guess, the CAD drawings and such of the iPad Pro, whether it comes next week or next month or sometime. And there's some big changes here. I mean, we already expect edge-to-edge screen, very slim bezel. I think both you and I agree, no notch, because you can fit the sensor housing in the bezel, make it uniform, and that iOS 12 beta spacing has nothing to do with that. But I think the weird thing here is that it looks like it's boxier than before.
Yeah, there's not curved sides anymore. It's like flattened off. It's it's almost like a iPhone 4 style shape, but then also the antenna lines are like the iPhone 6S antenna lines, where they kind of trace the corners, whereas the current iPad cellular is almost like a notch, right? But it's not filled in. It's just a single line.
Yeah.
Whereas now they seem to have gone back to tracing the edges. And this is a render based on leaked CAD drawings sourced by OnLeaks, who has been pretty reliable in the past, although he even says these ones are not as dead cert as he has been before. And things like the corner radius aren't what would Apple would do for a corner radius. Like, it seems a bit rough and ready.
Hmm.
But it's surprising to me that they would make the sides flat. And there's this anecdote that both Jobs and I have said a few times, where originally they had the iPad as a rectangle that was flat, and then they put the curve, like even on the original iPad, right, it was like a straight bit and then it curved downwards.
Yeah.
And they said they added the curve because it was more inviting and easier to pick up. So does that not apply anymore? They're just like, do they not want it to be inviting anymore? Like, I don't know. I think the look of it is still very cool. Like, the bezels aren't as thin as what an iPhone X is, but there's still like a dramatic difference from what we have today.
Yeah. Cool. So we'll see either next week or next month how that goes. And the only thing for me to promote this week is on Sunday, I will be the guest on the podcast Mac Power Users on the Really FM network. So if you subscribe already, look for that in your feed. And if you don't, it comes out Sunday afternoon. And so check it out and talk a little bit about like the origin of how I got into writing about Apple, as I do. And then some of the stuff about the leaks we get into as well. And then some of the stuff about like why the watch is important to me. So Mac Power Users on Sunday, check that out. And with that being said, that's the Happy Hour podcast for this week. You can follow me on Instagram at @ApolloZachBenjamin. You're on Twitter as
BZAMayo.
And you can also give us feedback at happyhour@9to5mac.com and follow 9to5mac on Twitter as well. We will be back next week. We usually record on Wednesday evenings. I kind of forecast that next week we'll be processing the event, maybe. So we'll probably record on Thursday and release on Friday. Most likely scenario. So see you guys next Friday. Bye, everybody.